And so this morning is the pinnacle of the Christian faith. This morning, I mean, without the death of Jesus Christ, really we would have no hope of eternally being in the presence of God the Father. This is the pinnacle of Christianity. Without today, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no Christianity. Jesus would just be another great prophet, but not salvation. And so this morning, I want to talk about a few things. One in particular, though, that is the underlying current of this message, and that's why I'm titling it, The Moment. That first drink always gets you, right? The moment, that was a moment. There's moments in our lives that define us. If you think about it, it's these moments that make you unique. They form the way you think, the way you perceive the world, the way you respond to things. They make you unique. There are specific moments in your upbringing that are replayed in your mind. They're important. There are also others that you would rather hide in a place where no one can find them. But nonetheless, they are still moments that shape your life. There are still other moments that we memorialize. We not only replay them in our minds over and over, but we actually live by them. We want to live by its example, that moment. We memorialize them. Some moments are cherished, while others we'd rather forget. Some moments are worth holding on to, and there are many other moments that are worthy of being let go, and yet we still hold on to them. This morning, I want to take you on a journey through the pages of Scripture to moments that are breathtaking, heart-burning, life-changing, and life-renewing. And I pray that it is through this journey, through the Bible, that you too have a moment with Jesus Christ, where if you haven't already surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then I pray that there is not one soul in this place that has not turned their lives over to Him. Because if you lose it for His name's sake, then you shall have it, and have it more abundantly. You shall have it for eternity. That's my whole prayer. I've been praying for this morning right here. Did you know that the heavenly hosts rejoice over one soul that repents? Can you imagine the celebration in heaven if, like, more than one come to surrender their lives to the Lord? It's a party. If you have surrendered this morning, I don't want to take it for granted. There's some people in this room that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, but you haven't been walking with Him. We call it backslidden, whatever you want to call it. It's just not living in obedience to the Word of God. Jesus says, if you love me, then obey my commandments, right? So you know who you are. We're going to talk about the prodigal son this morning as well. I believe that if you will listen for God, that He will speak to you and call you unto Himself in a very deliberate, loving, clear, and open manner. There's nothing hidden. There's no mystery that hasn't been revealed to us that we don't need to know. And this morning He calls us unto salvation or a recommitment very openly. There's no code here. It's just straightforward, okay? So don't look for the hidden message. It's just all in the open. Now, I understand we won't be here for much longer. But I just know that if you just get your body into church, that the Lord will speak to you. It's amazing. I remember my wife and I, we would go to church, right? And we would fight on the way. Not that probably none of you fought on your way to church this morning, right? You fight, you're late, why do we even go? You know, all of that. Just us, just unique to us, right? So we'd sit down, And we'd listen. And as Pastor Greg would be speaking, and I'd get this nudge. You know, don't nudge, by the way, don't nudge your husband or wife, right? I told you. Yeah, that's what that says every time. But I'd get a nudge. No, actually, I'd nudge. And it would be that. Wow, it's like he's speaking to me. Duh, just get there. The Lord will speak to you. You see, his word is living. And it has the power to change your life, has the power to counsel you, has the power to rebuke you. In other words, spank you a little bit, right? Get on the right track. Has the power to give you a completely new life. You just need to get there. And so if this is one of those mornings where you're just getting to church for the first time in a long time, if not this church, get to a church that teaches the Word of God and stay there. Stay there. You need it. Check out Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Jot it down. There's pens in the pockets of the seat in front of you, okay? All right. First thing I want to talk about is moments you didn't know were moments. There are times in your life, as you look back, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. You know, if we could relive it again, then we'd live it perfectly, right? But some moments, we don't know are moments as we're going through the moment. We just acknowledge them later on. You actually stand in awe at times at how much that event was a defining moment for you. Those are one of those things where you look back and you memorialize them. Like, and you talk about it all the time. There's this time. And my wife tells me, I've heard all those stories. Yeah, but they're so important to me, right? But what's even more amazing is that God's understanding and knowledge of our defining moments to come are clearer than our understanding of past ones. He knows the purpose of the ones to come and of those that have passed. They all work together. In Luke 7, if you have your Bibles, open them to Luke 7. I'm going to read to you this story in verses 36 through 50. Starting in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, speaking of Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, this was dinner, right? Reclining at table, brought in an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And I love this. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. And Jesus began to school this young man. He says, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It's a beautiful story. It's also an undignified moment as far as the woman was concerned. This woman who was a known sinner in town, she was a known sinner. She was one that was defiled. She boldly entered into the presence of men. Culturally, that was the wrong thing to do at that time. She entered. She wasn't invited. She entered boldly into their presence. She let her hair down. Literally, she wept. She anointed and washed the feet of Jesus Christ from behind him. You can imagine the scene as they're sitting down and Jesus' feet are kind of just pulled behind him. As she just came in subtly behind him as she's weeping. And those tears fell on his feet. And she had nothing around her to wipe his feet with. And she just let her hair down. And with that, she wiped his feet of her tears. This woman was undone, broken, and she was lost in the presence of the king. Not only was she a known sinner, living contrary to the law, but she entered again into the presence of men that are gathering without being invited. Not acceptable. Not in that day and age. This woman wasn't even a servant to them. To add insult to injury, she broke open this flask. And in today's money, okay, 300 denarii, what is that? I don't even know what denarii is, right? Well, let's put it in today's dollars. Median income for the Inland Empire is about $62,500. 1 year salary, right? Okay. So this woman came in with some expensive, pure perfume. She broke open the top and poured it all out on his feet and just anointed Jesus Christ. She poured out $62,500 on Jesus. I can imagine just the whole place just filled with an aroma that was overpowering. Beautiful, right? Some of the disciples, especially Judas, didn't like that. So what's wrong with you? Not only is she a sinner, she came in uninvited, and then she pours out this bottle of perfume all over you. She was undone. She was undignified. She had let her hair down. She had just even forgotten about her dignity. She said, I don't care. This is Jesus Christ. I am here to worship him and him alone. I'm not concerned about you guys. Her appearance to others didn't matter because she knew that Jesus knew her heart and she knew who he was. You see, Jesus, as it's written in Luke 8, verses 1 and 2, we see there that what Jesus had done is that he had relieved her of 7 demons. So she knew, oh, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one who was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Oh, if you guys only knew who he was. Today is a day in which most churches are packed out. But statistics show that all will be back to normal in a few weeks. That's why from the get-go I'm telling you, get to church and stay there. Okay? Don't let this be an anomaly. Something that just isn't seen. Go to church and stay there, right? Most churches in a few weeks will return back to normal. Because although many hear the good news of Jesus Christ, few sincerely respond to it with their whole lives. A part of it Not all of it. There are people today that, right along with the Pharisee, would say, what an undignified, what a fanatical, what a ridiculous picture that is. If God only knew what a sinful man or woman is in his house praising him. If God truly knew this person or that person. You might even have that going on in your mind right now. Wipe it, take it out. But for the grace of God, there go I, right? No, let me tell you that at some point this day will be hindsight for you. It'll be one of those hindsight moments where you will say, God did know their hearts and Jesus paid with his life so that they could worship and praise Jesus in that manner. Undignified. Undone. People this morning have already just stood up. I feel compelled to just stand up. Great, you're worshiping the King. You've let your hair down. You're just wiping his feet. Some people have been compelled to just lift their hands, just raise their hands. Do it. Because that's where your heart is. And the Lord sees it. Don't worry about everyone else around you. Don't worry about what others think. Most of the time, they don't think much about you. I've learned that, okay? Just understand that. You think you're so... Okay, Facebook is a good place to go. You think everyone reads your posts, right? You think everyone's all interested in your life. And then you get this one. You check that. It's like, man, have they responded yet? How many likes do I have? How many people have commented? Let me check my stats. You know, did it really go out? Maybe it's not working, right? Listen, don't worry about everyone else. You just be concerned about your relationship with the Lord. A setup moment. I love this. You see, this was a setup moment also. Jesus, like I said, schooled the Pharisee, right? But it was a setup moment. You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows at just the right point, just the right time that you're going to respond to him. But you know what? The layers have to be peeled off of that hard heart. And this is one of those setup moments. It's a good thing. As you look back, it'll be like, aha, okay, I understand all those little things that you did along the way. Did you know that God knows your heart? And he knows you so well that he will set you up so that you can't explain something other than with the statement, when someone asks you, well, what happened? I don't know. It's just a God thing. You know, have you ever said that? I have no idea. I can't explain it. God? I love that. I had that. I can tell you the story that brought me to the Lord. I look back at mocking my sister that came to the Lord before me. Seriously, to my shame. Even those Christians that came to the door. And I was so nice to them. how years later, it was one of those, wow, Lord, you were working in my life the whole time. One of those aha moments, right? This the setup. And I thought I could escape it by going to the Navy. No. He had me there too. I imagine that is exactly what this Pharisee did on Sunday. Happened earlier? I would imagine that Sunday, when Jesus was resurrected, I was like, oh. Thought about that conversation between Jesus in himself. Like, oh, I get it now, right? One of the soldiers, a centurion who was at the crucifixion after Jesus gave up his spirit, said, certainly this man was innocent. Truly this man was the Son of God. Did Simon say the same thing too? And whether you realize it or not, God is working in your life. He sends you texts. He sends you messages. He gives you phone calls, leaves you voicemails. He puts coworkers around you. He's setting you up. And it's all divine. Those are just instruments of righteousness that are working on his behalf. Pretty cool. He's setting you up. Just know that. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Understand that. He doesn't wish that any of you should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance, to where you bow down to him and say, Lord, I give you my life. That's it. I'm tired. But listen, don't delay. Because the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We don't know when he's going to come back. But I'll tell you what, the stage has been set. Prophecy has been fulfilled. We're at the point now in the Bible to where we don't know. It could be today. It could be the next moment when Jesus Christ comes again and he will take unto himself his church. So God set you up today. Just want to let you know. The doors are locked. You're in here. But it's a good setup. It is an absolutely beautiful setup, okay? You're in a place where you hear about the good news of eternal life with Jesus Christ and how that can be a reality for you. A moment was realized. This is awesome. Mary's forgiven. As we read this portion, this story right here, Jesus agreed with the Pharisee and said, yes, Mary, she was a big sinner with big problems, but he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because she demonstrated by her actions an inward reality. Jesus is the one who saves, the one who forgives, the one who delivers. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the indescribable gift of God. As 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, this morning Jesus is telling you, I know you're a big sinner. I know you have big problems. But listen, I am yet bigger than any of that. Infinitely bigger than all of that. In fact, Jesus said, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mary was forgiven for much, and so she loved much. How will your moment with Jesus be realized? Next, we'll see a moment taken for granted, but redeemed. I love the story of the prodigal son. Because I lived it. Luke 15. We'll all be in Luke this morning. But Luke 15. Luke 15, 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me, his inheritance. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, in other words, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I'm sure in between the lines there was a lot that took place, right? I tell you that I can identify with that story, because I was that prodigal son. Lost but found. Let me just say this, that Jesus doesn't lose anyone. He knows exactly where everyone is and what they're doing. The lost part of it is that people lose their way. There's a certain way. It's the straight and narrow, but it's the best way. And sometimes we want to deviate, and sometimes it starts out with, well, not sometimes, it always starts with a little bit of compromise. Careful, careful. Starts out with a little bit of compromise, and then it goes on from there. And if you continue on that path, it takes you in a place to which is wide and shallow, and it leads to death. That's what the Bible tells us. You may have been one that surrendered your life to the Lord, but through whatever circumstances, choices, compromises, even laziness, you've gone off the path and wandered into a wide and shallow path. And again, that is the wrong path. There was a time when I found or realized or came to my senses, came to my right mind, understanding that I was on that wide and shallow path, and it led nowhere. I just kept going around and around in circles. What are the answers to life? I already knew them. I was ignoring them purposefully. I was that prodigal son that wanted everything right now. I wanted to live life the way I wanted to live it. But in the end, it just kept leading into this block wall. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? What am I doing to my family? Please notice with me that the son ran away. In that the one that ran away was the one who had to make his way back to meet up with the father. You see, as prodigals, we need to turn. That's our responsibility. We need to repent. Repent just means 180. Hook a Yui. Go back. Okay? But listen to this. Again, this story is just awesome. Right? As soon as the son, he was a long way off. He was still far. But the father, it's like our father in heaven. He is. He turned around, but he might still do a 360 and keep going. Watching. He's coming. Oh, I know his heart. He's mine. He's coming to me. It's time to celebrate, boys. Get ready. Here we go. And he runs, and he meets you right where you're at. You don't even have to make it all the way back. He runs to you. I mean, can you imagine that? You've offended him. You've taken all your inheritance and squandered it. And he says, oh, my riches are abundant. You have no idea. What I gave you, nothing. He runs to you and he wraps his arms around you and he forgives you. And he says, come into my presence. Let's celebrate together. Kill the fattened calf. Get the worship team together. We're going to celebrate this morning. That's the picture of you and Jesus as you run back into his arms. He doesn't condemn you. He forgives you. Praise rings out in one great big celebration. Perhaps that's where you are right now. You've known what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you've walked away and are squandering the gifts, the blessings that he so openly gave to you. You're sharing that with the world. And it just doesn't make any sense. Light and darkness does not mix. Oil and water doesn't mix, right? always separates. The reason why you feel uncomfortable is because you're not there anymore. You're trying to behave like the world, but you're not of the world. Will this be your returning moment? The last point is the moment of reality. He is risen. Luke 24, final place for us. Luke 24, starting in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. This was after the resurrection, the day of. First day, this was Sunday. It's like today, just imagine today, there's two guys walking from Highland to Colton, right? I don't know what's in Colton, but you know. Just imagine though, they're walking about 7 miles. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, so they were talking about those things. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Just a little pause there. They thought he was going to reign on earth at that time. So that's why that statement was made. Then he goes on and says, "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." It's kind of like, oh, I want to go see the Messiah. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. He's not there. Right? Now we understand, as Jesus said to them in verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Remember, it was late in the day. In that very hour, like, their eyes were open. They saw Jesus. He was with us the whole time. He explained to us him through the scriptures, Moses on through the prophets. He disappeared. It was late. They said, "Hey, let's get on the road. We need to go back to Jerusalem. There's something very important we need to say." Jesus' questions. Again, I remind you of John 1:1, "In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Did I say that right? In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was the word in the flesh. And he was explaining the whole counsel of God to these men and saying, all these things, that's why you can read the Old Testament and see Jesus in the Old Testament. He said, all of that is me. It's me. I'm drawing you unto myself. Do you understand? I have been raised from the dead. I have conquered sin. I have conquered death. And I have conquered Satan. And I'm here to tell you that I am alive and well. When we read the Word of God, it's like a mirror that shows us what we look like. But it also reveals Jesus Christ to us. Jesus asks us questions about what's going on in our lives. It's like, have you ever read the Bible? You start reading through and it's like, wow, that really hits me, right? So he starts, it's like you're speaking. This is a really real and live conversation that you're having with the Lord. And so he's answering those questions about what's going on in our lives and then tells us about himself. I've said it before, that we're more concerned about our problems than God is. We're explaining our problems to him and he's saying, let me explain me to you. No, but you don't understand. It's a great big problem that I'm having here. I have no idea how I'm going to work through this. And he says, I'm a big God, and I can work through any of that. And I won't take you out of that situation until you recognize who I am in your life and you fix the very thing that puts you in that situation. I am God. Jesus says, I am God. Just listen to me. When Peter started talking out of order, Jesus had to come out and say, hey, stop. Stop. What are you doing? But listen to me. We have questions for Jesus, and Jesus is the answer and opens our eyes to see him in a moment of reality. When you recognize him for who he is and what he offers, eternal life. Oh, your life is but a vapor. Can you imagine what your issue is? It's even smaller. It's a speck in that vapor. What I'm offering to you is something far above and beyond that issue. My whole concern is your soul. I'm offering you eternal life. Now, Jesus is with you every step of the way. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus said to his disciples, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in Hebrews 13:5, which is quoting Joshua 1:5, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is your moment of reality with Jesus this morning? I pray it is. I pray it is. Just one last story. I have a friend, his name's Andrew. Thursday, he helped this young lady directly across the street from the church here. She's from San Bernardino, but was attending some classes close by. She was stranded. She had a flat tire. And again, she was on her way to these classes. He took the time and his money to fix this lady's flat tire. Even her spare was flat. So she had no way of getting out of this issue. But this man, my friend Andrew, went and what he did was he took her, not the donut, not the spare, he took the tire, the big one, and he rode his bike, on his bike, and he went down the street, and he paid with his money, and had just this used tire just to get her from point A to point B, and went and put it on her car. I know this because he knocked on my door. I was in my office here, and I was studying, and he knocked on my door and asked if he could borrow my jack to help this lady. He came back about 45 minutes later, again, after he had fixed this lady's tire, gave me back my jack, and told me the story. He says, I paid with my money, and She has left. She's gone. She's not here. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it back. She said that she was going to come back and give it to me, but I'm not too sure. He says, but that's okay. He said, because it wasn't about the lady. It was about God. I wanted to just bless God. This was just a moment to where I needed to do this. It had nothing to do with my money, but, you know, if she doesn't come back, oh well. Not a big deal, right? Just as Andrew was telling me this, the lady pulled up in her car, gave him his money, said thank you, and she was on her way. He turned around, because I was waiting right in front. He turned around, he was just grinning from ear to ear, just a huge smile. Because he said it was God that had brought his money back. 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we talked about this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then 1 Timothy 6:6 through 7 says, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. You see, I need to share another detail about the story. My friend Andrew is homeless. But he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and is one of the most content people I know today. One of the most content. I've had conversations with this man. He doesn't want anything. He says his girlfriend was complaining one day, and he says, have you even asked God to provide for you? And I tell you, he said God revealed himself to her in such a quick manner. We went to the bus stop after being evicted from the one place that we had, the last place that we had. We were evicted, right? And so they went to the bus stop, and they were there. And this lady drove up, and she came around, and this girl just had a very bad attitude. And she was telling the lady that walked up, were you looking at me? Right? It's like, it's on, right? And you're even getting out of your car? That's really bold. And the lady said, you know, I'm kind of lost out here, and I was getting out of my car to ask you for directions, but the Lord impressed it on my heart to give you this $20. They didn't have any food. Nothing. Here, the Lord just impressed it upon my heart to give you this $20. And she just broke down crying. She went from all gangstered up, right, to just, oh, God is so good, you know. And then she turned around and saw Andrew. Andrew said, that's my God. The lady said, in fact, you know what, here's another $10. Just go buy yourself some food. Eat well, okay? Go. What does it have to do with Easter? It has everything to do with Easter. It has everything to do with Easter. If you knew me as my brother, my sister, my mom, knows me BC, before Christ. I was very happy in the pig's pen. My cousin, my aunt, they're all here. They knew me. Ask them. Well, don't ask them. But I was very happy in the pig pen. Pigs don't know pigs stink, okay? It wasn't until my friend, Mike, came to me and I said, this man has something going on. He was confident, but yet he wasn't judgmental or condemning. And we were on dive station. I mean, testosterone was just like flowing about knee deep in there, right? There's just something different about him. It's Jesus Christ. That's what attracted me. That's what caused me to say, Mike, what's going on with you? There's something different. He asked me the question, do you really want to know? I said, yeah. And he very well, in a very kind manner, told me about Jesus Christ. Has everything to do with Easter. Without Friday, there's no Sunday. Without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. Without doing away with the old life, there is no new life. That's why this morning I pray that the moment is a reality for you. There's no way that Andrew, out of the goodness of his heart, well, it can, but it wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord, right? But listen, he gave all the glory to the Lord. Andrew said, nah, you know what? I'm content right where I'm at. I really am content. I have no need. You see, he's been resurrected with Jesus Christ, but he has also died with him. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I have something to say to you. You have questions for him? He's grabbing you. And this morning, he has spoken to you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. The moment that I've been looking forward to is happening right now. The Lord has prepared you for this moment. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. We know that, right? We're one of those. The Bible also tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. God's law is perfect. No one can keep it perfectly. So we all fall short. I told you what even our righteous deeds look like, right? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is amazing. We were his enemies, and God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He sent him while we were still offensive to him, and he died for us. But here's the good news. In Romans 10:9, the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. Pastor, is there any ritual I need to do or anything? No. No, your confession is to the Lord and between you and him, and you and him alone. There is no other mediator except for Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not me, not your wife, not your friend, not your cousin, nobody. It's just in between you and the Father through the mediator, Jesus Christ, period. That's it. The question this morning is it a moment of reality for you? Will you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Because the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. To be an undignified worshiper of Jesus Christ. To lose yourself in the presence of Jesus Almighty. You see, this is the pinnacle of Christianity. Today, Easter, we celebrate Labor Day, but no amount of works can earn us a place in heaven. We celebrate 4th of July and the personal freedoms that we enjoy as a country. And yet no one, not even a million soldiers that die for us, can offer us a place in heaven. Although eternally grateful, I'm even more grateful to the one who laid down his life willingly, Jesus Christ. And that is why we today, I cannot leave this place without offering you what he has offered to me and given to me. Will you make that stand? Will you make this moment a reality for you in the sight of God? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that you make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Some of you don't know him as Lord and Savior. I pray that you do that. I'm also going to pray for those who need to make a recommitment to the Lord. I pray that this day is the day in which you come back. I promise you the Father will run back to you right where you are and meet you there. Is that you this morning? And then after we pray, the worship team is going to start. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Don't let this be a hindrance to you. Please don't. I'm going to ask you to stand up and just make your way to the front. We'll all be rejoicing with you. this is a safe place. This is a refuge, truly, in which people will be encouraging you, not judging you. We will love you and surround you and help you on that journey. I pray that you stand up and make your way to the front. So let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you move in each and every heart here. Lord, you know exactly the person here who does not know you yet. Lord. But I know that you have drawn them unto yourself. I pray, Lord, that they do not resist, but that they simply surrender. And by losing their life, they will gain it in you for eternity. I pray for those who have been prodigals. I pray, Lord, that it's just that life is just a stench, Lord, that it just is not right and it doesn't sit well with them. That they realize that you're there with open arms, ready to welcome them back into an intimate fellowship with you. And so, Father, I pray for them that they would respond, that they would get up and acknowledge you before men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.